God is faithful. God is faithful. What goes into your mind when you hear that phrase? Is it a resounding yes? I heard some amens. A scripture pop into your mind that declares that truth? Perhaps a memory of when God demonstrated that in your life and answered a prayer, and answered a desperate prayer. God is faithful. Tonight we're looking at this hymn titled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And as Christians, we often say the phrase, God is faithful, especially when we're trying to encourage faith in fellow brother or sister, one that might be in a struggle, maybe doubting that truth. And so it's a way that we can encourage by saying God is faithful. And it seems that terms or phrases that we're familiar with or are common to us to use become just that, familiar and common. And they lose their profound impact and depth of meaning. A tension can exist between our hearts and our minds in the knowledge of this truth about God, that He is faithful, and how His faithfulness has been demonstrated toward us. When doubt creeps in our minds, our spiritual eyesight is clouded, and we often fail to see His daily mercies and the great faithfulness of our Father toward His children. So tonight we have the opportunity to renew our minds, in this truth that God is faithful, and how great is His faithfulness toward us. One of the challenges we have in our understanding of and our trust in God's faithfulness is that we interpret or we measure God's faithfulness by His fulfillment of what we desire. And therein lies the problem, because we don't always have righteous desire. And God is righteous. And so this produces a tainted view of what is true of God. Because if we perceive a need as going unfulfilled, our prayers going unanswered, then doubt of God's faithfulness can come in. We may say, oh yeah, God is faithful, but in the back of our minds, there's that thought. But what about that time that I prayed and I pleaded and God didn't answer, at least in the way that we thought He should have? See, our understanding is naturally influenced by our experience. We do learn through experience in this life, or at least we should learn from it. But God's faithfulness should not be defined only by our life experience. We must first believe what God has declared of Himself in His Word, and then see with increasing clarity all the ways His faithfulness is demonstrated in His doing everything He has promised for our lives. You see, God is faithful. It is His character. It is a divine attribute of God. If God were not faithful, He would not be God. He could not be trusted to fulfill all that He has declared He will do. The Scriptures declare this divine attribute of God in numerous places in both the Old and New Testaments. And both the Hebrew and the Greek words for faithful carry the meaning of certainty or stability. God is a covenant-making, promise-keeping God. He is faithful to keep what He has declared, what He's promised. Faithfulness, then, is the demonstration of God's divine attribute of faithful. So here are just a few of the many scriptures that declare God is faithful. and how he works in faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Psalm 25:10, "All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness." And Casey referenced this morning Exodus 34, 6 and 7, in which God declares his faithfulness to his covenant people Israel. See, all that God does is in faithfulness to his promises to his children. Deuteronomy 32, 4 says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he." So we're looking tonight at a hymn that declares through song what these and many other scriptures tell us about the faithfulness and mercy of God our Father. Well, you may be looking for some dramatic story that inspired the author of this hymn, but I'm going to have to disappoint you on that. There's no awe-inspiring story behind the writing of this hymn. But I think that's just what makes this hymn all the more relatable and impactful to our faith. The hymn is simply the reflections of a Christian man meditating on the riches of God's Word and seeing all the ways God's faithfulness and mercy was demonstrated in his life. So I'll give you the brief background on the author and how the hymn became so widely known. "Great is Thy Faithfulness" was written by Thomas Obadiah Chisholm. He was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky in 1866. He was converted when he was 27 years old, and he became a pastor at age 36. But he had to retire 1 year later due to poor health. He spent the majority of his working career as a life insurance agent in New Jersey. Isn't that relatable? Not the life insurance agent part, but the change in plans. So he became a pastor at 36, but only a year later had to leave the ministry. Doesn't that sound like an opportunity to doubt God's faithfulness? Even for bitterness to come in, questioning what God is doing. A man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Well, it was 21 years later, at age 57, that Chisholm wrote a poem titled, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I think it's worth highlighting the text that inspired the refrain of this hymn. The words, of course, come from Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, very familiar verses. What do we do when we see with our physical eyes the pain, the suffering, the ravages of sin? What do we do when it's attacking our faith, when it's attacking our trust in this faithful God? Listen anew, listen fresh to Jeremiah's thoughts as he watched the destruction of his people and God's judgment for their sin. "He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord." Hopelessness. You ever felt that way? "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall." It's bitterness. "My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." Utter despair. You ever felt that way? "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. therefore I will hope in Him. Well, Thomas Chisholm meditated on those inspired words and saw the faithfulness of God to provide in his own life all that he ever needed. Seeing the mercies of God and being thankful is the antidote for bitterness and despair. Commenting on his life, Chisholm wrote, said, "My income's never been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which followed me on until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that He has given me many wonderful displays of His providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness." Well, during his life, he wrote over 1,200 poems, most of which no one will ever hear. So how did we come to hear this particular poem? Well, in 1923, Chisholm sent a few of his poems to William Runyon, a friend of his at the Hope Publishing Company. Runyon was captured by the profound biblical truth and was inspired to compose the music for it. And so, "Great is Thy Faithfulness" was published that very same year. Well, just a side note, I thought the hymn might have a much earlier date, like the 1700s or 1800s, by the language. Using thy and thee and thine. And, those are certainly not modern English words, but those words were, and maybe still are, used in poetry composition. So it's a poetic style. So there's a little tidbit for whatever it's worth. Well, let's take a closer look now at the verses of the hymn and see the biblical basis and the truth in each of those verses. I've kind of outlined the hymn in 2 points. First, we're going to see God's faithfulness declared through His Word in verse 1 of the hymn, and then through His creation in verse 2. So God's faithfulness declared through His Word and through His creation. And then God's faithfulness demonstrated through salvation and through deliverance. So looking at the first verse, "Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be." By His promise and by His grace, God is our Father. The eternal God, the self-existent One, holy and complete, the One that is perfect and with certainly in no need of us, has declared He will be a Father to us. The promise of God to be a Father comes through His faithfulness to fulfill His covenant. The Davidic covenant speaks of this. And Paul referenced it in 2 Corinthians 6:18 when he said, "I'll be a Father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." How incredible is this promise? Think of it. We who were enemies of God, disobedient in every way, are now welcomed and adopted as sons and daughters of God Most High. And it's only by His choosing in eternity past to set His steadfast love upon us. The Davidic covenant and the promise of the new covenant are perfectly fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Friends, we can trust this promise of a heavenly inheritance from our Father because He does not change. James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." This unchanging nature of God is called His immutability. He cannot change because He has no need to change. God cannot improve. He is perfect. Isaiah 46 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things yet not done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." Great is our Father's faithfulness to us. He shows unfailing, uncompromising compassion to His weak and wandering children. Psalm 103 reminds us, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. How can we say with certainty, "Great is Thy faithfulness"? It's because God's Word declares that He is. God's Word is truth, and that's what we must stand upon. Well, the next verse of this hymn supports the claim of God's great faithfulness by bringing our attention to God as Creator. The second verse reads, "Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." God our Father is also God our Creator, and creation declares the existence of our faithful God so that man is without excuse to glorify Him and to worship Him. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard." All mankind is without excuse to know our Creator God. We know from Romans 1 that His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. And creation is bearing witness to the faithfulness of God. The delicate balance of the changing seasons brings forth all that is needed to sustain our physical lives. Psalm 145 tells us, "The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food in due season. You open Your hand, You satisfy the desire of every living thing." The creation longs for and bears witness to the steadfast love, mercy, and faithfulness of God, looking to the completion of redemptive history. Romans 8 says the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. God's faithfulness as Creator is made known by His unmatched power. Psalm 33 tells us, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice, and the earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." And we know that it will stand firm until the Lord says it is done. For Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Great is Your faithfulness, O God our Father. Your word declares it. Your creation bears witness to it. How else can we know and believe in our hearts that God is faithful. It's in remembering His wonderful works in our lives, His demonstrated faithfulness with the grace that has brought salvation to us. Let's look at the words of verse 3. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Pardon for sin. Friends, that's the gospel. The faithfulness of God in fulfilling His promise to be a father to us requires that His justified wrath over our sin be satisfied. And that has been accomplished through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We who once were enemies of God now have peace with Him. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Micah 7:18 and 19 says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. This beautiful truth of our pardon for sin should produce in us a thankfulness for the faithfulness of God. Psalm 32 says, blessed, happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. The hymn says, thine, O dear presence, to cheer and to guide. And now we have life in Christ by the indwelling Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1 tells us, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him, in Jesus. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The hymn says, we have strength for today, and it is by living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 73:26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In Ephesians 6:10, Paul urged, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. The guarantee of the promise then produces hope to live in faithful obedience in God today and a hope for the eternal life, the sin-free life in His presence still yet to come. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. And we know that there is a day coming when He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. There'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no pain anymore, for these former things will have passed away. God has demonstrated His great faithfulness by His grace to save us and in giving us a living hope both for today and for this life to come. As Thomas Chisholm did in reflecting on his life journey and seeing the mercies of God and His great faithfulness to sustain his faith and provide for all his needs, so we too should learn to see His unending mercies toward us. We must see with spiritual eyes the great faithfulness of our Father. It's walking by faith and not by sight. It's what enabled Jeremiah to write, "I've lost all hope by what I see, but yet I have hope by what I see through Him. I see the mercies of God because great is His faithfulness to me." Brothers and sisters, we have that same testimony of God's great faithfulness to us. In the wonderful providence of God, the mysterious providence of God, we were in Psalm 40 this morning. Psalm 40 carries a special meaning for me and my wife, Sandy. So if you'll permit me, I must be obedient to what we heard this morning. That psalm says, I must tell of the great faithfulness of God. And we must tell of the demonstrated faithfulness of God in our lives. You see, I'm here tonight as a member of this church only because God is faithful. My story begins just like yours at conversion. When I was 10 years old, by God's grace and His power, I was convicted of my sin and I gave my heart to Jesus. I walked the aisle. I was baptized. I was a faithful church member. Perhaps many of you have a similar conversion story. Throughout my teen years and much of my 20s, my faith was untested. I didn't realize how much of my life I had built upon a decision. Life seemed to kind of roll along the way I wanted it to. And in my ignorance, my theology was much more self-centered than God-centered. I didn't realize how much I treated God as my wish granter more than the sovereign Lord of my life. I've read scripture tonight and I want to testify all God's work is done in faithfulness to complete what He begins in us at our conversion. And so in faithfulness, God allows the pressures of affliction to produce a pure, a more refined faith in each of us. For me, that refinement began on the night of May 3rd, 2004. Our two-year-old son, John Mark, choked on some pretzels, and he aspirated pieces into his lungs that stopped his breathing. By numerous mercies of God that evening, Sandy and I found ourselves the next morning at Children's Hospital in Little Rock. We were in utter shock when we came into the bedside of our son that lay in a coma and was covered and hit from head to toe with sensors and probes and monitors all around. In the mercy and provision of God, some dear sisters had driven from Fort Smith in the early morning hours to be there with Sandy. And they were praying and reading the Word together in the ICU waiting room. After some time, I came out and Sandy came over to me and said, "This is our hope. This is what God's going to do." And it was Psalm 40. It was verses 1 through 5 that were this beam of hope shining into our desperation. Sandy and I were hoping for, we desperately needed a miraculous work of God to heal our son. He was very critically ill. And those first 5 verses of Psalm 40 were life-giving. We weren't exegeting the text properly, as Casey did today. But it was God's Word that anchored us, that gave us hope in the midst of desperation. Well, I could spend the rest of the night telling you the many mercies of God that He gave us. But after 35 days at Children's Hospital, our son went to be with the Lord. We did not receive that miraculous healing that we pleaded for. But in reality, we did receive a miracle, and that miracle was our own conversion to be children of God. Because I want to tell you, it's only by His grace and His faithfulness and His power that we still walk with Him. It's the only reason I stand here tonight. He has held us fast. It's not because of the faith of Sandy and Alan. I can tell you that. It's quite the opposite. If this faith was up to me, in those waves of grief and sorrow, I would have abandoned the Lord. I would have said, "Why did you do this to me? I can't believe that you're faithful." But friends, I'm here tonight, 21 years later, to declare great is the faithfulness of God. He who began a good work in you and in me is faithful to complete it. He is faithful. Whatever He ordains in your life and in mine is right. And He is always working for your good and for His glory. We each have a story to tell of God's great faithfulness, from young to old. A few years of walking with the Lord or a few decades. We all can look with spiritual eyes and see the mercies of our great and faithful God. The wonderful works He has done that are to be remembered. The unending mercies. Mercies that bring blessing and joy. And mercies that sustain us and deliver us through the trials that refine and strengthen our faith. Whatever you may be going through right now, I urge you to see it with spiritual eyes. Meditating on this great hymn has just been food for my soul. I've woken up with this tune in my mind immediately, and the day goes so much better. Not that any of the stresses or the normal things were any different, but having that perspective of seeing the mercy of God in all things because He's ever faithful. When we say never, and we say always, it may or may not be true, but when God's Word says His mercies never end, He is always faithful, it's absolutely true. So, Scripture encourages us to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. So, putting these doctrinally rich hymns into our hearts so that we sing them. I'm not going to sing out loud because I'd clear the room. But singing it in your heart, these truths, just lifts the soul. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God." And Psalm 89 says, "I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations." So I encourage you, let this great hymn be one that is in your heart to carry you to new heights of faith and joy in our faithful God. And let your song be, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you tonight with hearts overflowing in gratitude to you for your faithfulness. There's not a one of us that can boast in our own strength, our own faith. We declare that it's all by your grace, your steadfast love and your unending mercies toward us, that we can walk by faith. And our hearts are filled with hope. Hope for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. Great is your faithfulness, Father. For this we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.